Tonight I want to talk about donating blood. And I have to tell you, I got the idea from Mr. Richard Boyd. If he was at the funeral yesterday, I brought out part of the obituary that was written about him, in the fact that throughout his life he had donated more than 25 gallons of blood to the American Red Cross. That's more than 200 donations to the American Red Cross. That's quite an accomplishment. And it made me think about this lesson that I had written years and years ago, and I thought, well, I'm going to pull it out and let's talk about donating blood tonight. And I want to read to you three passages of Scripture. The first one found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. The second one found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And the third one found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, as we read these three passages of Scripture, what is the common factor among all of them? Well, we know the answer. It is the blood of Christ. You know, we would really be touched to know that someone volunteered to donate blood on our behalf that we might live. I remember as a child, and I was probably maybe 5 or 6 years old, my aunt was giving birth. It was for her third child. And something had gone wrong during that birth. And she had a rare type of blood. It was the same type that my father had. And they did not have a blood supply at the hospital for her. So my uncle calls my dad because he knew he shared that type of blood. And Daddy raced to the hospital and gave blood to save her life. I don't think I will ever forget that. You know, we do that to help one another, don't we? And I think everyone in this room would gladly give a pint of blood to save the life of someone that they love, or maybe just to save the life of someone in general. You know, in a spiritual sense, that's exactly what Jesus done for us. He donated blood so that you and I might live. You know, as you look over the world's religions and the different worldly religions that are here, you never hear that of their religious leaders. No other religious leader has ever laid down his life or offered his blood to save his people. But Jesus did. Jesus' blood has reached every race, every rank, every class, every tribe, every tongue. God loves everyone. As Peter said, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I would like for us to talk about donating blood. And what I want to do, I want to compare the way we do it to the way Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. First of all, when we give blood, it is a donation. When Jesus gave blood, it was a sacrifice. Generally, when we give blood, it's a pint of blood. And it generally does not put our body in danger. I know the first time I gave blood, I was a 17-year-old teenager. And we had to call home and get permission from our family before a 17-year-old could give blood. And I called home, and Daddy said, well, I don't think it'll hurt you. And it didn't. And I gave for many years after that until I had to go on medication that forced me to stop. But it doesn't take very long, and it's a very relatively simple thing to do. And when you finish, they give you a pack of cookies and some orange juice or Coke to drink, and you know, I always liked that part. Jesus gave blood, and then He died. What we give, we can easily spare. The human body has between 12 and 13 pints of blood in it. So one blood is not going to harm us. But the blood that Jesus gave cost him his life. When man sinned, he gave away his right to live, because the wages of sin is death, according to the Apostle Paul. And we know that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, again, from the Apostle Paul. The answer was Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." After he made that sacrifice, he went to the Father to be with Him. You know, our donation is usually made in a comfortable place with sterile conditions. And when you think about how we go through the ordeal of giving blood and the ordeal that Jesus went through, we sit down usually in a nice, comfortable chair. It's air-conditioned building, and they have the best of the equipment to make it easy and sterile and safe. And then you have Jesus, who was laid on the cross, beaten, nearly naked, bleeding from the beatings, nails driven into His hands and into His feet, and then that cross taken with Him nailed to it and stood up vertical in a hole to stand there until He literally chokes to death, unable to breathe. Jesus' blood came out of His entire body through the nail prints in His hands and feet, through the spear that was forced into His side, and from the beatings and the whippings across His back. You know, it's customary for the criminal to carry his own cross to the crucifixion site. But Jesus was so weakened from the earlier beatings, it was something that he could not do. Quite a contrast from going to the clinic, isn't it? And giving a pint of blood. You know, our donation is quick, relatively easy. His was drawn out and painful. Actual donation generally takes about 10, 15 minutes. Jesus' time on the cross, according to Mark 15, was about 6 hours. The entire process, from the time we began to the time it was over, was 21 hours. It began at 6 p.m. on a Thursday, and He passed at 3 p.m. on Friday. Our pint of blood will cost the recipient. Today, a pint of blood can cost as much as $200. Depending on how much testing has to be done and how it must be filtered for different parts of the blood to be used. On the other hand, when Jesus' blood, it was free. You won't need to bring a checkbook to receive the blood of Jesus. Salvation, you see, is a gift of God. Jesus mentions this gift to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It is labeled as a free gift by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5. The free gift. Not like our trespasses, not like the sins that we have committed, but it is a gift of righteousness given through Jesus Christ. And we are freely justified because of that gift. So I think we can agree with the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Our blood donation goes out of date in about 42 days. Christ's blood is eternally fresh. You know, a lot of blood centers throughout the country have difficulty in even maintaining a 3-day supply for blood. Now, when my dad had to go give blood for my aunt, we lived in an area of about 100,000 people. You would think there would be blood everywhere. People would give daily and the banks would be full. And that was not the case. You see, there is always a great demand for blood. But you know, Christ's blood has life-giving power. And it is as strong today as it was when He gave that blood when He was on the cross. You know, many of us give many times, over and over again, because it's something that we always need in life. Jesus gave only once. His blood never has to be replenished. It never has to be changed. He never has to come back and do it again. It will remain effective, until the end of time. Our blood may be rejected because of disease, contamination, or corruption. But Jesus' blood is always pure. It is always sinless. I am told that some 13 different tests are given to each pint of donated blood. And only about 37% of the blood that is donated is actually able to be used. And only about 10% of our people donate blood on a regular basis. That tells us how easy it is for the blood to be contaminated and bad. But you know, Peter made a reference in 1 Peter chapter 1 of the purity of the blood of Christ. Beginning with verse 18, he said, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." There are four very important words that came in this passage of Scripture. Number one was precious. Now, we understand the word precious. It are things that has much worth to us. It's very valuable to us. We look at each other as precious because we love one another. With the things that we have been able to accomplish, the things that we have in life that we enjoy, we look at them as things that are precious, very costly. Something that is flawed could not be precious. The blood of Christ was not flawed. It was indeed precious. And then the word without blemish is also mentioned here in this passage of Scripture. The word without blemish means that it is without physical defect. Now, you know, there is no one in this room that is without physical defect. There is something wrong with all of us, that we always have something, if it's nothing as simple as a common cold, or it may be a deadly disease that we deal with. But we are imperfect people in every way. But the blood of Jesus was without blemish. It was pure. It was clean in every way. Even the phrase without spot is also used here, which simply means there was no stain. You know, sometimes we will get a stain on our clothes that we can't get off. And it's blemished forever, and there's nothing we can do about it. But the blood of Jesus was without spot. There was no blemish. There was no stain. And then he used the word incorruptible. And again, there is corruption among mankind. That's why we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But there is nothing corruptible about the blood of Jesus Christ. Corruptible seed results in decay and death. Incorruptible seed leads to eternal life. And then finally, one pint of our blood can save the lives of maybe three or four people, depending on how it is broken down and used. But one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ saves the whole world. The reason most blood donors give is because they want to help people. And you know, I admire folks who are willing to help, who will give of themselves for the sake of someone else. And I want to tell you the reason that Jesus came to make his donation is because he cared for you and me. His love for you and me is boundless. The love of God in sending him is boundless. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know why he came. He came to die for us. We also know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he knew when he came that it was going to involve his blood. There is no substitute for blood. You know, science has done so much in the fields of medicine. They have made so many major steps and accomplishments. But with medicine, plastic surgery, synthetic parts, if you lose a body part, they can generally give you a new one. If you are burned badly, they can usually do skin grafts. Plastic surgery is performed. If a lung collapses, it can be restored, and now even the heart can be replaced. But my friends, there is no substitute for blood. They have not developed a synthetic blood. It must be real. The precious blood of Jesus is so real. It is so true. It is so pure. And it will give you exactly what you need. And what we need more than anything is life, eternal life. You know, the American Red Cross, that used to be its symbol, that you give life when you give blood. And that is so true. We do. And just think about the life that Jesus has given to us through His blood. The precious nature of blood is clear. Blood sacrifices were given from the first family on because it shows value that we have toward our God. And God showed what we mean to Him when He gave the blood of His Son for us. In closing tonight, I want to suggest to you that Jesus made a donation for you, a blood donation for you. And if you have not accepted that donation of blood, you need to do so tonight. You need to accept the blood of Jesus Christ and let it cleanse you. Let it redeem you. Let it justify you. Let it wash away your sins. And you can do so by obeying the gospel tonight. And if you have done that and you have gone back into the world, I want to suggest to you, my friends, that that same blood that went to the cross, that same blood that was shed for you initially, can cleanse you again. If you will come back to the Lord, He will forgive you of your sins if you ask Him. And that blood of Jesus will cleanse you all over again. It all comes down to blood, the blood of Jesus, and what it can do for you. Tonight, if you need to come to the blood, or if you need to come back to the blood, we encourage you to do so while we stand and sing.